Suspect Convictions is sponsored by HelloFresh. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code SUSPECT30. Suspect Convictions is sponsored by Casper. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/suspect. Suspect Convictions is sponsored by Harry's. To get your free trial set, including a razor handle, five-blade cartridge, and shave, go to harrys.com/suspect.
He told her to close her eyes, said that he had a Christmas present for her, and she closed her eyes, and she felt something press against her breast, and she opened her eyes and saw him holding a gun.
I thought if I showed the gun that they'd move, he'd stay away from me. It was a bluff. Meant to be. It didn't turn out that way.
When my mom took me home and cleaned me, she said I had blood. I had so much blood on me that it was inside my diaper.
On December 7, 1988, Clyde Buddy Spence entered a daycare center in League City, Texas, and shot two workers. One of the workers was Joyce Marquez, who was struck by bullets in the breast, neck, and hand. Remarkably, Jessie, the three-year-old girl she was holding at the time, was not hit by the gunfire. Joyce, though critically wounded, survived. The other daycare worker, her daughter-in-law, Charlotte Dondi Marquez, was wounded in the heart and died on the scene. And we continue to examine that case in Suspect Convictions, 2 Minutes of Terror, 30 Years of Grief, a production of Reader Reporting. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Last time we told you about the shooting. Today, a look at the aftermath all these years later. Scott Reeder speaks to one of the victims who was 3 years old at the time. He speaks with family members of other victims and has a prison conversation with the shooter. All ahead on this summer edition of Suspect Convictions.
The prosecution presented rightly the two victims of the case were the woman that was wounded and the woman who was killed. But I've always wondered about the other victims in the case, all those children who witnessed this murder. I mean, how did it affect them? Was it a lasting impact, or are children just so resilient that they can get past something like this? I've always wondered that. So there's a lot of aspects of this case that just have always fascinated me. And about 15 years ago, when I first met my wife, I told her about this story, and she said, Scott, you've got to go back and talk to those children. You've got to go back and revisit the case. This is just something that people are going to want to know. I mean, what is the lasting impact of a crime? And this is a 5-10 minutes of violence, and what's its lasting impact 30 years later? I got to talking with my wife again about it, and I said, you know, I'm going to go back to Texas, and I'm going to hunt down people that were involved in the case, and I'm going to interview them, and let's see if I can find some of the children that were there and talk to them as well.
Scott located Jesse Ward Triplett, the three-year-old who was being held by Joyce during the shooting, and he brought the two together.
He shot me here, and I had her on my hip over here. I wasn't a very big person back then.
So how old was Jessica back then when...
She was 2, I think, or 3, just turned 3. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. She was just a little thing.
Now, Jessica, you said you actually remember some things about it, about what happened that day.
I just remember her picking me up. I had a bunny, and I was going to bring it, actually. And
it still got blood on it.
It still has blood on it, yeah. Yeah, but I had that little rabbit with me. But, I mean, after that, I remember more so after the fact.
Okay.
Because I had problems with... I didn't talk very much back then at all. Uh-uh. And, because I had tubes in my ear. But now I don't shut up. No, I'm just kidding. But I would go and grab my mom's legs and say, bad man. So I think that's what I did with you. And when I was trying to climb up her, I was trying... I knew something was wrong, you know? And so I was trying to grab her and... I don't know, protect her. I don't know what I was doing, but I was like, I'm going to grab onto your legs and not let go. And,
and she didn't.
Yeah. And so I don't remember. I just remember a trench coat. He was wearing some long coat. Am I right? It was a longer coat.
He wasn't wearing a longer coat. But he had a coat draped over that
gun. It was like a long coat or something. Yeah. Because I remember him coming in and her screaming because it was a lot of chaos. But anyways, they had taken all the other kids outside or out back or in a room. It was back somewhere.
It was out on the back playground.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
So, but, you know, obviously it had to be a pretty scary thing. Do you remember being afraid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was scared. My mom took me home. When she showed up, she said that she didn't know what was going on. She said that it was, you know, they had the tape up and there was EMTs. They thought a wreck had happened because it was blocked off, you know. So when she did find me, she said that I just had these eyes on me. Like I wasn't saying anything. I hadn't said anything. I was just standing there holding my little rabbit. And she said I had blood everywhere. They tried to clean me up as much as possible. I do remember sitting in the back of the EMT and they were trying to get me cleaned off. But I had this, I guess it was like this thing that went over my pamper or something. I don't know. I was wearing pull-ups. I remember that. And so it was like a light pink thing. Anyways, it got inside my diaper. Like when my mom took me home and cleaned me, she said I had blood. I had so much blood on me that it was inside my diaper. And then that whole week, she said I was having really bad issues with like sleeping at night. And I was in the hallway and, you know, I would say, get the bad man. You know, there's a bad man.
Has it affected you later in life at all?
You know, I've had people ask that because I was so little that they're like, how do you remember stuff like that? But I mean, how do you forget? Honestly, even if you did forget it, it's in your subconscious. And they say like the most prominent years for that is between, I think, 2 and 10. But yeah, I went through a pretty bad marriage and abusive marriage. And then we went to marriage counseling and the counselor took us and we did separate sessions. And I was trying to put everything I could into it. And then she goes, tell me about your past and what you've been through. And I did. I told her, you know, I went through this shooting.
Joyce says she's proud of what Jesse has achieved, but remains concerned that she remains scarred by what she saw at the daycare center that day.
Because I was holding Jessica when he shot me.
Mm-hmm.
So she was traumatized. I still really think she's having trouble with it. I can't swear to it, but you know.
She said she was.
She was splattered with blood, and she was holding a little rabbit, I think, a little pink rabbit. And she's still got it. She said it's still got blood on it. I was going to bring it and show you.
The scars from that day remain evident in the lives of those who witnessed the shooting or loved Dondi. But what of the other side of the equation, the shooter and his family? At what point should we stop punishing and allow someone to return to society?
Well, Bill, you know, that's a tough question. Some would say that even his death should be the punishment. I mean, Dondi's sister believes Spence should have received the death penalty. But Mike Guarino, the district attorney who prosecuted the case, says this particular murder didn't meet the criteria for capital punishment. And the jury in this case chose to sentence him not to life in prison, which he would have been eligible for. Instead, he was sentenced to 30 years. He'll be released soon. But one thing I know for a certainty is that Buddy Spence not only devastated Dondi's family, but he also hurt his own family. I'll never forget seeing his mother testifying in court, begging the jury to give her son a break. I felt bad for her. Nobody wants to be the parent of a criminal. You have the heartbreak of watching your child punished, and you're going to always be haunted by thoughts of what you should have done differently as a parent.
League City Assistant Police Chief Gary Ratliff says he remains perplexed by Clyde Buddy Spence's thought process.
Well, he was not from a background you expect to become. I mean, I know that everybody has the propensity to commit crime, but he was from a very middle-class background. His father was a pastor. I mean, was there any impression there? I mean, when you're talking,
I don't know if what was going on in Clyde's head at the time. I don't know if he was looking at Monique as his bride-to-be and that he felt it was all going to be worked out that way. And when it didn't, it shattered his world, I guess. I don't know. It was not. He didn't have the typical criminal background that we would have expected from that type of action in a daycare center, much less.
This is a little digression, but I remember his mother from the trial. She seemed like a very sweet lady.
She was, or she is. I don't know if she's still alive or not, but at the time when we met with him, there was no question in our mind that she was withholding information from us or anything like that. It was very surreal. I mean, the whole situation was.
Just ahead, Scott talks with Clyde Buddy Spence in prison on suspect convictions. Would you like to be doing more home cooking? Consider HelloFresh. We like to think of HelloFresh as a farm-to-box company because we want everyone to have access to fresh ingredients that inspire great meals. But we don't stop there. We're also a couch-to-kitchen company because the best way to kick those after-work excuses is by feeling unstoppable in the kitchen. HelloFresh currently offers customers a classic box, a veggie box, and a family box. Customers can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals each week designed for either 2 or 4 people, and there are new recipes created every week, and meals are now less than $10 each. And Scott Reeder says these are good, and he is a lousy cook. He has actually been a good cook by using HelloFresh meals, so it can turn your cooking around as well. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code SUSPECT30. HelloFresh.com, SUSPECT30. This is Suspect Convictions. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Scott Reeder traveled to Texas to chat with Buddy Spence in prison. Spence says one of the most painful times for him in prison was the death of his mother.
She died in 2010. She was 91.
Did she visit you very often here?
She visited me quite often.
Let's talk about the last 30 years. What's it been like for you?
Well, prison's not a nice place, you know. When I first came in, it was quite a bit rougher than it is now, since they've got the Prius, which is a Prison Violence Act, which took quite a bit of the violence out. When I first came in, you didn't even get a case for fighting, but nowadays, you get a case for even being in a fight, whether you started or not.
I got to think that you had it pretty rough coming in here. You were you're a slightly built man, and you know, were you a target at all? I mean, for violence?
Well, you know, back in 28 years ago, they had what they called they'd trying you. When you came in, you was going to be tried one way or another. Generally, it involved getting in a fight with somebody or somebody starting a fight with you. And as long as you fought, you was okay. It didn't matter whether you won or not. You just had to stand up. So I had a few of those.
Have you ever been a victim of any other violence?
Not really. I've seen a lot of things that most people don't want to see.
What kind of things have you seen?
I've seen guys get stabbed. I've seen guys get stabbed and die. And, of course, that's not easy. That's not an easy situation to see.
Sure.
Seen a lot of fights.
While Spence may worry about being the victim of violence now, it's important to remember that he is incarcerated because he was the perpetrator of violence. So Scott Reeder asked him about that.
First of all, Wendy, the lady that owned the daycare, she came to the door and she said she didn't want me coming in. And I said, well, I'm going to come in and get Monica, or Monique, and she says, well, let me get all the kids out of here. And they was already closed. It was like 5:30 around that time.
Sure.
So I waited a reasonable amount of time. And when I went in, the two, I didn't even know Charlotte was there. She had been working for Wendy at her house with the younger children. So I didn't know she was there. I didn't know anybody but her mother was there. And when I went in, well, they came at me and...
Who's they?
Joyce and Charlotte. They hit me and slapped me, and that's when I took the gun out. And Charlotte had moved away a little bit, and Joyce grabbed for the gun, and the gun went off, shot her through the hand. I didn't shoot her again, even though she has a mark. I think the bullet went through her hand and into her shoulder. She came to the door and she said she didn't want me coming in. And I said, well, I'm going to come in and get Monica, or Monique. And She says, well, let me get all the kids out of here. And they was already closed. It was it was like 5:30 around that time.
Sure.
And so I waited a reasonable amount of time. And when I went in, the two, I didn't even know Charlotte was there. She had been working for her, for Wendy at her house with the younger children. So I didn't know she was there. I didn't know anybody but her mother was there. And when I went in, well, they came at me and...
Who's they?
Joyce and Charlotte. They hit me and slapped me, and that's when I took a gun out.
Okay.
Joyce... Charlotte had moved away a little bit, and Joyce grabbed for the gun, and the gun went off, shot her through the hand. I didn't shoot her again, even though she has a mark. I think the bullet went through her hand and into her shoulder.
She was holding a child at the time, wasn't she?
No, she wasn't.
Now, she says she was holding a three-year-old.
I'll tell you about the child. When the gun went off, and I kind of, it kind of shocked me because I didn't go over there to hurt anybody. And Charlotte kind of lunged at me, and I don't know if it was what it was that caused me to turn and shoot. I don't know if it's reflexes or it wasn't a conscious thought that I know of. When I turned back, Joyce had sat down, and this child was coming from the door, and she's running toward me, like with her hands up for me to pick her up. And Joyce grabbed her and pulled her in front of her. I'm assuming she wanted to, she is afraid I might hurt the child or something. But, and Charlotte had already turned and run out the back door, so I didn't actually know she was hurt as bad as she was. I guess I was in a state of shock. The only thing I could think of is kind of get away from here and see what, think this through and find out how this happened. And I was very upset about it. I never heard anybody like that before. I didn't have a criminal record at the time.
It's very interesting to me to see the disparity in the story he tells about the relationship and what its status was and what the family members, all of them, whether the folks who have forgiven him or the folks who are still very angry at him, tell about it. It's very different than what Buddy shared with me at the prison.
Do you feel sorry for Buddy Spence?
Bill, you know, that's a tough one. I think he deserves to be in prison. He took the life of an innocent woman. Because of him, a little boy grew up without his mother. Brothers and sisters and a mom and dad and a husband have been left hurting, mourning the loss of someone they loved. Some of those children who witnessed the violence have been left emotionally scarred. And yet, after almost 30 years, Spence is still equivocating. He tries to cast blame on others. His story about Dondi and Joyce slapping and hitting him and the gun just going off accidentally seems very, very hard to believe. And the story doesn't match the recollections of witnesses we interviewed or police reports from that period. Oh, and by the way, he says he never kidnapped Monica either.
Wasn't he convicted of kidnapping?
Actually, he was never tried for it. A jury found him guilty of murder, and in a plea agreement, he pleaded guilty to attempted murder of Joyce. But it's worth noting that while Spence denies kidnapping Monica, both the prosecutor and the detective who worked the case say that it happened.
But back to the original question, Scott. Do you feel sorry for Spence?
Like I said, Bill, he's where he belongs. I feel sorry for his mother who spent her final years visiting him in prisons all over Texas. I feel bad for Spence's kids who didn't have a dad around growing up.
Wait a minute. Spence has been married before and he has kids?
You were married how many times?
I was married five.
Five times?
Yes, sir.
You ever hear from any of your exes?
I've heard from my fourth wife for several times, and I can't stay in contact with her mother. I write her every Christmas and send her a card.
And you have kids, too, don't you?
Yes, I do.
How many kids do you have?
I've got three.
Okay, and with how many different wives?
Three.
Three different wives. And have you heard from the kids during the last 30 years?
I've heard from my son a number of times. I haven't heard from my oldest daughter since probably 90. And I have never met my youngest daughter, who is 31 now. Her mother never brought her up to visit.
You hope to meet her when you get out?
I sure would like it.
Reporter Scott Reeder says the thought occurred to him that Buddy had a child about the same age as the children in the daycare center. Scott, did anyone comment on the irony of entering a daycare center with a drawn gun?
Well, actually, Joyce Marquez and Jesse Ward Triplett did.
I want to ask him how, with a three-year-old baby of his own, how could he go in a daycare center with a gun? Just take a gun in there. Much less start shooting.
Especially if you're holding me.
Yeah, and I was holding a baby, a three-year-old, and he shot me. How could he do it, being a human being with a real human brain? I guess he's got a human brain. I don't know.
Unlike today, in 1998, there was no waiting period to purchase a handgun. In fact, Buddy Spence bought the gun from a pawn shop the day of the alleged kidnapping of Monica and less than 24 hours before the shooting at Little Tykes.
Why'd you buy the gun?
I was doing in-home sales at the time all over Houston for Pavestone International, and there was quite a few carjackings that was going on. I thought I needed a little bit of defense in case.
And why did you bring the gun in that day to the daycare center?
Well, I thought that probably I'd have some problems with them, but I thought if I showed the gun that they'd move, could stay away from me. It was a bluff. Meant to be. It didn't turn out that way. I mean, what do they say about best laid plans?
You think about Monique very often, or Monica?
Occasionally. I know she's married, and I know she's been married ever since before the trial. I hope she has a good life.
You still love her?
Not the same way that I did then. I mean, I've had a lot of, this is a lot of time. You know, I'm getting to be an old man, you know. I can't say that I have the same feelings for her that I did back then. I don't dislike her. I mean, I don't wish her any harm or anything. I just, you know, memories grow dim over time.
This is Suspect Convictions, 2 minutes of terror, 30 years of grief. Coming up, reflections from Scott on his sympathy for Buddy Spence and more from the prison interview. You know, going out and mattress shopping is not always the most fun, and the mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. That's why Casper is worth considering. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. Getting your mattress over the internet is a great idea. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's just got the right sink and just the right bounce. And buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. And that's why we have a special offer to listeners of our show. You can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/suspect and using suspect as your promo code. Terms and conditions apply. You know, as I sit here right now and talk to you, I do have a face for podcasts because I haven't shaved in several days. And I have no razors in my home, so I can either head out to the store and buy those expensive razors or consider a new option, and that's Harry's Razors. You can get a mail order. They're well-made, and they're cheaper. It's a better deal. Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just a couple of bucks a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Stop messing around. Get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer. $13 value for free. Just cover shipping. To get your free trial set, including a razor handle, 5-blade cartridge, and shave gel, go to harrys.com/suspect right now. That's harrys.com/suspect.
Bill, you've asked me twice whether I feel sorry for Buddy. And I guess I haven't fully answered it. I feel bad about the situation. I look at him and I see a life wasted behind prison bars. I think of Dondi, a young woman whose life was cut short by this man. I think of Joyce, who suffered 3 bullet wounds and nearly died. And I think about those children who witnessed the shooting. What effect did this have on them for the rest of their lives? I guess I had to say I don't feel sorry for him. A jury found that he should be separated from society for 30 years. But I do have compassion for all of those involved, including Buddy Spence.
And Scott broached the topic of forgiveness with Dondi's family, including Joyce.
Have you forgiven him yet?
I try. If I know what forgiveness is, I mean, how can you even get it? I can't get it in my mind to say, bless his heart, he didn't know what he was doing. I'm trying. I'll put it that way.
Scott also asked the same question of Misty, Joyce's youngest daughter, who was especially close to Dondi. Misty also watched her mother slowly recover from her wounds.
I was sitting at church one day, and the sermon that came across was on forgiveness. And, you know, so you're sitting there thinking about who needs forgiveness from me is what I was thinking, you know, because I don't want to be somebody's barrier or reason that they can't come to God. I don't want to be their excuse. So I was trying to think of people that I might have wronged. And then the preacher goes on to say, somebody that has wronged you. And I was like, well, there has been people that wronged me, but I'm not holding it to them, you know, because it's between them and God. So yes, I forgive, but I have to forgive to release him in order for him to find God and find forgiveness. So there has to be a forgiveness there, because I don't want to make it to heaven and God say, well, why should I forgive you? You never forgave him. Because everybody deserves a chance, right?
So I ask Buddy Spence about forgiveness. Would it surprise you if I told you Joyce has forgiven you?
Yeah, it would.
Well, she says that she has. She's become a Christian since then. Her daughter Misty also says that she's forgiven you. Dondi's sisters aren't there yet. I don't know if they want to get there either. What would you tell them right now?
You know, saying you're sorry for something like that doesn't seem to be an adequate answer to probably what they're feeling. I don't know.
Have you ever asked for the forgiveness?
No, I haven't. I've thought that they probably didn't want anything to do with me, didn't want to talk to me, didn't want... If they did, I would ask for it, but how do you ask for forgiveness for that? I know my God has forgiven me.
And how do you know that?
Just by the feelings I get when I say my prayers every night. He's kept me safe 28 years. I'm not saying it was fun. It wasn't. It's terrible to be locked up here. But prison is a place where you receive punishment for things that you do.
Spence is being considered for parole again this summer, but even if he isn't released from prison now, he'll have served his entire sentence within a year and a half and will walk from the prison gate a free man. Scott spoke with Gary Ratliff, the detective who investigated the case.
One of the questions that comes to mind is, 30 years long enough for a sentence like this?
Again, like I said when we started out, it depends on your vantage point on that.
Sure.
If you're someone that's, you know, finds your place spiritually as a Christian, you know, and you forgive and move on, then, you know, I guess it is. I know that even up to a few years ago when he was fixing to be paroled, or he was up for parole, that the family was not over it. Nobody in the family was over it. And to this day, I think there's still that concern about a man that took the life and destroyed their family, and is still to this day had total destruction over them. I mean, you know, when they met, they described Dondi as being the sweetest and nicest one in the family. And they may say, people say that about all of them that pass, I guess, but they described her as just being the sweetheart of the family, and that the father and the mother, I think both of them passed, but neither one of them ever got over it till the day they died.
And Scott asked the same question of Mike Guarino, the former Galveston County District Attorney who prosecuted the case.
Were you satisfied with the 30 years?
I certainly wanted more. I asked for life in prison, but I was satisfied that a jury had reviewed the case and passed judgment. And I accepted that. And you learn to do that as a prosecutor. You don't always agree 100% with what they did. And when I got up and argued for life in prison, I thought that the facts merited that, but the jury heard all the facts. There are 12 people from different parts of the community, all different ages and all different backgrounds, and that was their judgment.
On Spence's upcoming release from prison, he had this to say.
I first would say that he's discharged his debt to society, and I hope that he is a different person today than he was when we tried him. I hope that he's made peace with God and with himself. And I hope that he will be a contributing member of society in the future. And I certainly wish him well in that. I would hope that he's remorseful. I think, I would certainly direct some questions to him about, he's had 30 years to think about it and to reflect on it. And I would hope that he admits his wrongdoing and admits to the horrible series of events and the horrible misery and suffering that he has caused. I would hope and pray that he's also made peace with God for what he did. But other than that, I don't know what you could ask.
Buddy Spence says he's prepared to be a free man.
Being in prison for a while, I had a lot of time to think. I've always worked an 8-hour job while I've been here. In all the years I've been here, I've had one minor disciplinary, no major cases at all, which is fairly unusual here because it's quite easy to get a case. But I went to college while I was in here. I've got 2 associate degrees.
Where'd you get your degrees at?
One in liberal arts and one in electronics. I also have taken all of the programs that they've offered, Christian programs, and Voyagers, and program that's recognized through parole. This program that I'm in right now is quite a good program.
What's the program called?
It's called the Prison Entrepreneurial Program. we just got through with Men's Life and Leadership Academy. It teaches you to be an authentic man. And the Leadership Academy, of course, tries to teach you to be a leader of men. It is extremely strict. There's no cussing. You can't say a cuss word. You get problems. You get separated from the program if you do things that you shouldn't be doing as a person in prison or as a person in the world. The second part teaches you entrepreneurship, how to run a business, how to work for people.
Cheryl Stiegel, Buddy's sister, struggles to forgive too, but her anger is not directed at her brother for committing the crime, but at Dondi's family for working to keep her brother incarcerated.
The sisters and brothers have really managed a campaign for a long time to keep him from getting parole. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are, it's painful because, again, if he could have gotten out and had some time to spend with mother, it could have changed her life, could have changed all of our lives.
But do you hold it against the family for doing that?
I think probably, yeah, probably so. But do I know what I would do? I mean, I don't hold it against them for resenting the fact that he was going to get out. He's definitely been kept there because of her family's opposition to him getting out. I have no doubt about that because he was to be released, as you know, and then whatever they went to the newspaper and the news media and told them, they changed the parole board, changed their mind.
And she blames Buddy's long-ago girlfriend, Monica, for getting her brother into the situation.
To me, she's just a piece of trash. That's how not feel about her. But again, I was only around her a couple of times, but all the stuff that transpired between him and her, and I do know that they were kind of low-life people at that time. But, what's transpired since then, anybody can change, and I can give them the benefit of that doubt. But at that time, I so didn't want him to be involved with her, her family, or any of them, the situation. And as it turned out, I was right about the whole thing. It just went downhill. But, again, his mind was not working properly is all I can figure out. Yeah, he was in a state of some kind of shock. I can't tell you because that situation's never happened to me, but it has been devastating for our family and for her family, and to me, Monica got off scot-free and just ruined a lot of lives.
Monica, or Monique, did not respond to an interview request. Her mother, Joyce, said her daughter has moved on with her life and did not want to discuss long-ago pain. But she did say this of her daughter.
She don't talk about it much, but she's got a her life is stable. She's been a nurse for 30 years or more. Mm-hmm. She left her work, mm-hmm. and she functions. She's got grandkids, and she's just a happy camper.
As Buddy Spence nears release from prison, his sister Cheryl says he's paid his dues.
Because he is who he is, and he suffered, and he'll continue to suffer the rest of his life. I mean, walking out of that prison is never going to give him free from his own conscience and his own guilt. It'll just put him in a different place. But it was a bad thing, and it will always remain a bad thing for two innocent families. We lost a loved one in our own way, and they lost a loved one that they won't ever see again. So it's devastating. Anything like this that happens is devastating.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Suspect Convictions. Coming up next time, Reader Reporting tells us about a sordid story involving a substitute teacher in Iowa. And coming up in the fall, Suspect Convictions will examine in depth a possible case of innocence in a central Illinois murder. For Reader Reporting, I'm Bill Wheelhouse.